commandment of God is expressed in the scriptures in negative form. You shall not use the name of the Lord your God in vain. Yet, as the Catholic Church understands the second commandment, is a commandment of that. And the commandment is that we use the name of God, but in a distinctive way. We may therefore say that the second commandment of God prescribes the verbal, vocal, audible, visible, sensibly perceptible use of God's name. This is the duty we have to not only believe in God, but even just to pray to God. That is still the first commandment. In our 19 centuries of Catholic wisdom reflecting on the Decalogue, the obligation to pray is identified with the first commandment. The obligation to pray. As human beings, we're not angels, we have bodies. Give our bodies when we pray, that is the specific obligation of the second commandment. We ask ourselves four questions. What is vocal prayer? What are the main forms of vocal prayer practiced in the Catholic Church? Why do we practice vocal prayer? And the important question of how can we improve our worship of God by vocal prayer? There are two standard meanings of vocal prayer in the vocabulary of the Catholic Church. A broad general meaning and a more specific identification. In its broadest sense, vocal prayer is prayer that follows a set form of words. In vocal prayer, the words are those of someone else than the one who is praying. And maybe the words of Christ, or the words of sacred scripture, like the Psalms, or prayers composed by the Church, prayers composed by the saints, or the prayer of St. Francis, or the Take, O Lord, and Receive, Suscite, of St. Ignatius, broad, generic meaning of vocal prayer. In a more specific sense, vocal prayer is vocalized prayer. It is articulated prayer. It is prayer that can be heard by the one praying and by others. It is prayer that is somehow perceptible to the senses. Thus, vocal prayer, as we are speaking of it here, is distinguished, first of all, from mental prayer. In mental prayer, we compose the words and ideas. And I strongly recommend that every day we all do some meditation or mental prayer. Just speaking to God and with God from our heart. vocal prayer is first distinguished from mental prayer. But then secondly, in vocal prayer, we express ourselves somehow. We use our bodies to articulate what we are telling God. There are some, just some, forms of vocal prayer. I stopped at 8. I could have made it 18. In vocal prayer, the way we are speaking of it here, as particularly pertaining to the second commandment of God, the voice is used. Vox in Latin means voice. Vocalis in Latin means using the voice. But not only. I repeat, vocal prayer may be prayer in which the voice is used. But vocal prayer is prayer in which we not only express ourselves in spirit, interiorly, but somehow communicate with God bodily, corporeally. Some forms first simply articulated words, words that we express and articulate. My Jesus, mercy. My God, I trust in you. Are the most famous and most important vocal prayer in Christianity. The Lord's own. Our Father, Paternoster. Secondly, we're speaking of the forms of vocal prayer. Now the prayer is ritual. Ritual prayer. Where the words are accompanied by symbolic gestures or signs. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. His vocal prayer twice over. His vocal, when the voice is used, his vocal because the hand is used. Manual prayer is vocal prayer. Bowing the head is vocal prayer. Kneeling is, strange statement, vocal prayer. Understanding vocal, remember, as bodily. The prayer of human beings, the angels pray, but we are not angels. That's a safe statement. God wants to be adored, remember. He wants to be honored, thanked. All that we've spoken about in describing prayer, God wants us as human beings with a spirit and a body to communicate with him in both spirit and body. Kneeling, holding the hands, bowing. Third, his vocal prayer may be prosaic, and again, the moment you use the word prosaic, the first meaning of prosaic is, you know, ordinary, prosaic. I really believe, I think I did once, some of the audience told me, Father, with all your criticism of the English language, why do you still speak in English? And I told the people, because I have to. It's the only language you understand. Note, when Mihi Pachirat, Loki Vobis Latine, Nostra lingua catholica, non est lingua anglica, non est, as lingua latina. Lingua catholica est lingua latina. Nostra lingua materna as lingua latina. Sed pudor. Moral cause. Genus humani, non intelligent, lingua latina. Ergo, debio, loci vobis, in lingua anglica. Oh, what joy if I could get this retreat all in Latin. I wouldn't have to be apologizing for that language, commonly called English. Is prosaic or poetic? There's a melody, there's a rhythm in poetry. And that is why the most important form of prayer in the Old Testament is the Psalms. And let me tell you, more and more lay people are reciting the divine office. As you know, there are what you call hours of the divine office. And most of the divine office is the Psalms. And Psalms are poetic. Fourth, the prayer which is vocal, in the sense in which we are using that term, can be either individual or collective, depending on whether we are praying as individuals or praying together with others, we with them and they with us. And that is why, one of the main reasons why we must pray vocally, because then when we pray vocally with others, they hear us, we hear them. And we adjust, well, to a certain rhythm or pattern. We pray together. Number five, musical prayer. And just to hear it at least once. Music, just as music, is a communication of ideas. And so much of modern music, and sadly, some of it, as we know, has penetrated into the liturgy. May God forgive, shall I call them, offenders. When the voice is put into music, and not only sung, but accompanied by a musical instrument, or the music that is also prayerful, I've done some research on rock music, and my sources tell me a great deal of rock music is borrowed from the polytheistic cultures of Asia and Africa. The communication which these non-Christian people have, whether gods, both good and evil deities whom they worship. No wonder our nation is becoming the mothers of that of the Holy Father. One culture after another, once Christian, said the Holy Father, is becoming increasingly paganized. And are we still calling it music? Is one of the contributing factors in the de-Christianization or paganization. Again, the rules of prayer that we offer to God may be recited or may be sung. Or like St. Augustine's phrase, when we sing, we pray twice. And to hymns or songs, it is not only our minds, but our wills, our emotions. Number seven, both of prayer may be the private or what we call liturgical. Well, liturgical is the church's officially approved prayers. But even as I use the word church, and I capitalize the word church, let's be sure we know by whom our prayers and hymns are approved. Years in working with the Holy See has taught me an awful lot, and I mean awful lot. Not a few in positions of power or exercising authority in the church, but without that authority on whom depends all orthodoxy and authenticity in Christianity, namely the Bishop of Rome. We now have liturgical committees, liturgical commissions, and I know I'm being taped. God forgive, God have mercy on some of these liturgical committees and commissions. How specific I could be. Finally, for our purpose number eight. Our vocal prayer can be what we call continuous. We continue with our prayer and sentence after sentence differs from the preceding, or it can be repetitious prayer, like say the Rosary. Depending therefore on whether what we are praying vocally is continuous with the ideas accumulating, or the prayers in the Rosary, 53 times, the Hail Mary. This list that I mentioned earlier is not exhaustive. It gives us some idea of the variety of vocal prayers that we are required by God to offer to Him as human beings with a body and a soul. And whatever we do during the retreat, I beg you to examine your consciences on how much And of course, our fervently, we hope that those are. Needless to say, everyone here, and by now most of you know me, I'm not above giving, I don't say recommendations, but, well, happy to make you retreat resolutions that no one, for the rest of your lives, ever, omit saying the rosary every day. I repeat, that is not a recommendation. We go on. Why must we practice vocal prayer? We have been touching on this, but I want to zero in more specifically. We must practice vocal prayer because we are not angelic spirits. We are human beings. God wants us to know Him and worship Him on the two levels of our being. He wants us to worship Him with our spirit, with our minds and wills, and He wants us to worship Him with our bodies. He demands it. He wants us to speak to Him and converse with Him. Of course, in our hearts. This, we may say, is the soul of all prayer. But God also wants us to give Him proper worship by expressing, manifesting our proper internal sentiments in bodily form, using our voice and our lips, using our ears, using our bodily gestures, bodily posture, and bodily movement. One of the most devastating things going on in some parts of the Catholic Church today is the practical erasure of using the body to pray, by genuflecting, by kneeling, by folding one's hands. And the Catholic Church will survive only, I repeat, the Catholic Church will survive only if there are still believing Catholics who practice, and I mean practice, vocal prayer. Over the years, I've asked more than one audience. This is no mere audience. You know, not everyone now is genuflecting before the Blessed Sacrament. You know that. Priests. No genuflection. May I ask you, and with apologies for being so brazen, how many of you will, from now on, until the day of your death, genuflect before the Blessed Sacrament? Thanks. We need it, and others need it. Before this retreat is over, I will be very outspoken. And when we have to witness to our faith, and we don't witness to our faith well, down inside, in protective custody, in ourselves, to witness, we've got to somehow manifest in bodily, corporeal form what we believe. And I like to say this, as I'm sure you all know, we've got two kinds of muscles in our body, the involuntary muscles and the voluntary muscles. Our lips and tongue have voluntary muscles. Eyes, voluntary muscles. My knees, voluntary muscles. We were talking about submitting our wills to the will of God. We spoke of using our free wills to express our love for God. That is my definition of kneeling. Kneeling is a witness to my humility of heart. Kneeling is my witness to humility of heart. No wonder an increasing number, may God forgive them, they were renewed or genuflect even before the living God who became man to remain on earth in our midst. Pride never genuflects. Pride never kneels. Why then, similarly, has God wrought us to pray as we are saying bodily? He wants us to pray bodily because he wants us to adore and praise him, thank and entreat him, and beg for his mercy with our whole being, which of course means not only in spirit, but in body. And let's be honest. We were naturally victims of human respect. Oh, how pious we can be behind closed doors and nobody is watching. But that's precisely one of the reasons why God wants us to worship with our bodies, to testify to our love of him, to our submission to him. And if others don't do it, and they may not, that's their problem, not ours. Why does God want us to pray to him bodily? It is the main imperative of the second commandment of the Decalogue. Because he wants us to pray not only as individual persons, but as social beings. We, Paul, are to speak to God not only as individuals, but as members of the mystical body. Indeed, as members of the human family. So that others may witness our profession of faith, so their faith will be strengthened by our bodily profession of what we believe. I know myself too well not to know that to worship God bodily as he wants us to will mean, I know what I'm saying, They mean taking it. As Christ told us, He blesses us a special way when two or three, or of course, 20 or 30, or 200 or 300, are gathered together in His name. What does that gathered together in His name mean? What are we talking about? We are talking about, among other things, worshiping together as a body. You fathers, the fathers to be, whatever you do, may I beg you to train your children. And of course, you've got to be part of that training process. To pray together, at least on occasion, as a family. In order to pray corporately, we must be not only together in one place, we are to corporately join with others and they with us in articulating or somehow bodily manifesting our thoughts. And as by now we all know, and we're living in that period of the nation's history in which I believe the future of our nation, and I will add the future of the Catholic Church in our country, depends on there still being, believing Catholics who have the courage to express their faith with other like-minded and like-spirited persons corporately and cooperatively. We still have the because and the why. One last but very important reason. Why are we to pray together? And that togetherness demands, by the very nature of our existence as human beings, expressed, vocalized, articulated, bodily manifested worship of God. Why? Because we hear it. We need graces as a society. By now I'm afraid the late Father Peyton's motto, remember? The family that prays together stays together. I'm afraid for many people it has become, well, just another pious phrase. But it's much more than that. We need graces as individuals. We need graces for our society. Families need graces for the family. A parish needs graces for the parish. A diocese for the diocese. A religious community for a religious community. A country for the country. And hear it. A sure body clear. To obtain those corporate graces we need. Give the adjective to obtain the corporate graces we need to maintain and to advance our worship of God as social beings. We must worship him socially. We must worship him in bodily, corporate ways. And nobody cheats here. Only God knows what the future of the church in our country will be. For this much I know, it will only as strong as we worship God corporately, together. Otherwise, we shall not receive those graces that we as societies need from God. Our last question. How to improve our vocal, or what we are calling our bodily worship of God in prayer. As with prayer in general, so vocal prayer is truly at length with all the great master of the spiritual life. All of this treasury of spiritual wisdom, there are certain recommendations that they give us on how to improve our practice of prayer, all prayer including vocal prayer. To be exact, 5 ways. If I want to improve my life of prayer with special attention to vocal prayer, I must cultivate openness of my will to God. Openness of my will to the will of God. The more ready I am to do God's will, and no matter what price to my self-will, oh, how easy it is for me to turn these words. And they tell you, this is real. The more ready I am to do God's will, no matter what it may cost me, the more effective, the more effective will my prayer be. In other words, repeating words, praying by the hour. The amount of time we spend is not what is most important. The first and most important thing we need to worship God as He wants to be worshipped and to obtain from Him what we need is to have our wills opened to the will of God. It is not just a pious phrase. Then God tells us in the sacred scriptures, Son, give me your heart. I hesitate saying this, but I think I should. There is such a thing as hypocrisy in prayer. Who are the perfect hypocrites? Those who pray rosary after rosary, novena after novena, but whose wills are not open to the will of God. Second, I'm calling it recommendation. It is really an obligation. Sinlessness of heart. Sinlessness of heart. The more I strive with God's grace to purify my heart, the better and the worth of the Beatitude. will I be able to see my faith, my God in prayer? Nothing so blinds the mind. Nothing so seeing God as sin. To see God in every event, every situation, especially the painful acts of God's providence in our lives. To see God behind that suffering. Oh. The only key that will open the mind is a sinless heart. Third, we shall be as authentically prayerful as we are honestly striving to overcome sin in our lives. How to improve our practice of prayer with special emphasis on vocal prayer? By consciously placing ourselves at certain times of the day, do it deliberately in the presence of God. I need not tell you, in His presence, human beings are constantly living. They are in the presence of themselves. To be present to someone means to have that one on one's mind and have that person in one's heart. Who is constantly in our mind, who is always in our heart. That's why they will never be, they cannot be in the 11th commandment. Thou shalt love thyself. You got to take stock of our congenital, habitual, incessant preoccupation with ourselves and tell ourselves, stop. Start thinking of God. That's all distractions in prayer are. In case you want a definition of a distraction, every distraction of prayer is thinking of oneself when I'm supposed to be thinking of God when I'm praying. Fourth recommendation: reminding myself during my prayer, because and my dear friends in Christ, we're all the same. I must remind myself of whom I am talking to. Maybe only a moment here and there, but these periodic moments are important for the practice of all prayer, but especially of vocal prayer. Why? Because vocal prayer can become routine. Words can be said by the lips, but the mind and heart can be not 1,000, but 10,000 miles away. And especially with vocal prayer, understand what you are praying. St. Ignatius tells us to periodically make a meditation on the vocal prayer that we recite, a meditation on the Lord's Prayer. And if you don't get past the first two words, Our Father, and I'm quoting St. Ignatius, and the hour is over, then later on, take another hour to continue. And then, if you can, spend the next hour who are in heaven. Understand what we are saying. knowing Jesus. He told us to pray, and He gave us your own prayer, which we call the Lord's Prayer. Teach us, dear Jesus, teach us how important prayer is in our lives. Teach us how to pray, not just sporadically or occasionally, but with your grace. Have us understand what you meant when you told us to pray always. Oh, dear Savior, we believe, as an article of our Catholic faith, that the only persons who will reach heaven are those who on earth have prayed. Teach us, we beg you, how to pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I said, I'll be available then for the next two conferences.